Okay, very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 26th of June, 2018, Tuesday class. So we will now get ready for puja. Let us compose our mind, develop the spiritual faculty of sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Guansiying Pusa. Namo Guansiying Pusa. Namo Guansiying Pusa. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Milofo. Namo Milofo. Namo Milofo. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava. Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghaṃ Namāmi. Okay, you can be seated. Then let us turn to page 1 of the chanting book. Then we shall chant the bandana onwards. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dityampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dityampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Dityampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Panatipata Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Adinadana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Kamesu Michachara Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Musavada Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Suramiraya Pajapamatana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Now we shall chant the Padipa Puja offering of light. Ganda sarappa dithena dipena tamadangsina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang Gandha sambara yutena dopena hang sugang hina pujaye pujani yang tang puja bhajana mutamang vanna ganna guno petang etang kasuma santatin pujayami munindasa siri pada sarorohe pujemi buddhang kusumena nena punnena mattena cha hotu mokhang pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tata yati vinasabhavang adivase tuno bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patiganhatu mutamang adivase tuno bante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya patiganhatu mutamang adivase tuno bante bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patiganhatu mutamang. Now we will chant the puja expiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of oral aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or power, sharing and transferring merits with all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now let us pay respect to Triple Jap. Bhutang Pujayami. Dhammang Pujayami. Sanghang Pujayami. Okay, we also rejoice in the offering from Queenie. Huh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now let us have our half an hour meditation. Huh? We are off the light, and you can proceed with your meditation. Yeah. So as usual, if you still feel that you need to train your mind, you can train, no problem. Because if your spiritual faculties are still not stable, the mental hindrance will be there. And because of that, you find it difficult to meditate. Then your mind also find it difficult to enter the meditative state because of this mental hindrance that you carry with you during your daily life. When you are not able to have spiritual faculty in the midst of life, or when you are not able to maintain daily mindfulness, the continuity of it, chances are when you try to meditate, your mind cannot settle down. It takes a while. So if you know how to meditate, you just relax and silent and let the mind settle down. Then it will return to its original state of stillness, silent on its own. You don't have to do anything. You just have to understand that patiently, relax, mindful. That's all. The four support, you do the first two first. Just relax into every mind state that arises and maintain awareness of whatever that arises. And just let it be. Thought arise, let it be. It will come to pass. Then whatever activity that Sankara creates will slow down on its own. Because if you don't feed it with any more mental energy, it will slowly, slowly dissipate and just settle down. So meditation is a good way to actually train your mind to be peaceful again, silent, away. Then you just relax into it, silent everything, and allow the mind to go back to its natural state of stillness, silent. Then stabilize it. If you can't do it, you need to do the deconditioning through mind sweeping method. You also can proceed. Then you combine with metta. Mind sweeping method can bring about the deconditioning of the heedless thinking, make you more calm, more peaceful, because you just feel and relax, you don't think anymore. So when you do that, it brings about inner peace. Then when you combine with metta, you radiate love and metta, starting with yourself, then to your loved ones and to all beings. It will bring about inner well-being. This inner well-being is very important. So the first two obvious benefits of meditation is developing inner peace, leading to inner well-being. Then after that, you stabilize the mindfulness to be ever mindful. Then sati samadhi will arise. Then with sati and samadhi, the mind can understand many things. Wisdom can arise. That's how you meditate. It's just so simple. Okay, I will send the alarm now. So it will ring in about 25 minutes time. Then after that, you can mindfully come out of the meditation. You can slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Then try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness that you have developed for as long as you can. Now we turn to page 6 of the chanting book. We will do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine or teaching of the king of sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakavalisu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokkadang Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vijja charana sampanno sugato lokavido Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Opanayiko Pachyatan Veditabbo Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Ujjupatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Samichi patipanno bhagavato savaka sangho Yadidang chatari purisa yukani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato savaka sangho Ahuneyo, pahuneyo, dakeneyo, anjali karaniyo, anuttarang punyaketang lokasati. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay. Let us pay respect to Triple Gem. Bhadang Pujami. Dhammang Pujami. Sanghang Pujami. Okay, you all can be seated. Then we can now continue from where we stopped. The Buddha and his teaching, page 337, the topic on karma. We were at the last paragraph, so I will pass the mic to PG. Then we will let her lead. Today's topic is quite interesting. It was regarding a question by one of the devotees to the Buddha with regards to all the inequality that he saw in the world. So he asked the Buddha specifically, how did all this happen? And the Buddha gave a detailed account basing on the law of karma. And as we all have discussed last week, we can also see them in this very life, this civilization. And many of us have experienced them. Okay, PJ, come. Pass the mic to you so you can continue from there. Then after that, we can have our discussion. We let her finish with the that particular topic about inequality. Page 337, last paragraph, the cause of inequality.
Good evening, Bratio and all Kalanamitas. Today we'll continue with the causes of equality, page 337. Perplexed by the seemingly inexplicable apparent disparity that exists amongst humanity, a young truth seeker named Subha approached the Buddha and questioned him regarding it. What is the reason, what is the cause, O Lord, that we find among mankind the short-lived Appayuka and the long-lived Dikhayuka, the diseased Bawalpada and the healthy Appabada, the ugly Dupana and the beautiful Vanavanta, the powerless Apisaka and the powerful Mahesaka, the poor Appaboga and the rich Mahaboga, the low-born Nikakulina and the high-born Uchakulina, the ignorant Dupana and the wise Panyavanta. The Buddha's reply was, all living beings have actions, karma, as their own, their inheritance, their congenital cause, their kinsmen, their refuge. It is karma that differentiates beings into low and high states. He then explained the causes for such differences in accordance with the law of cause and effect. If a person destroys life, is a hunter, besmears his hand with blood, is engaged in killing and wounding, and is not merciful towards living beings, he, as a result of his killing, when born amongst mankind, will be short-lived.
So this part is very important. If you want to have long life, good life, you make sure you keep your first principle. So this part, PG, maybe you want to elaborate, you can elaborate on it. You may as well read the next paragraph. It's okay. All related.
Yeah. If a person avoids killing, leaving aside cruel and weapon, and is merciful and compassionate towards all living beings, he, as a result of his non-killing, when born amongst mankind, will be long-lived. My understanding would be that, as per our first precept, we should avoid killing all beings, but as we have always said, sometimes when it comes to the minor things like insects, it's a bit difficult. like when I have cockroaches in my house. Not that I'm scared of them, but yeah. I just don't want them crawling about in my house. And I live in a condo. When yeah. I catch a cockroach, what do I do with a cockroach? I have to tell them, I'm so sorry, but you have to go. I wrap them up in paper and I throw them out the window.
Yeah, that is one of the way, not to harm them. But you can also, like we discussed last Tuesday, you radiate love and metta. It's effective. Then keep your house clean. You don't keep any food, stuff in your room. Chances of cockroach coming is less. Then keep it tidy. And clean your house or your room. I think once a while, maybe 2-3 days, or if you're lazy, once a week. But make sure you clean it. Okay.
I keep my house so clean that the poor cockroach has nothing to eat. They even eat the paper in my bottles.
Then you read it, metta, they will not come and disturb you.
It's because sometimes when the others spray the insecticide on them,
they
just run anywhere, and unfortunately sometimes they come to my place.
Yeah, but you can talk to them, advise them not to be around, otherwise dangerous. Human being who don't have the precepts, they may just kill you. So tell them the best place is to avoid places where human beings are. So find their own habitat. So they can actually find their own habitat. Okay, yeah. So what else?
I think this two phrase applies much more to the major life, mainly human beings and animals. Like we always say, when you take a life, the chances of that you will experience the same thing. Oh, Brother,
yes.
Last week I was at SJPA at the seminary.
The closing ceremony.
Not only that, I went for a talk.
And
the lead bhikkhuni at that time was speaking about this subject too, about karma.
Good.
So one of the questions raised by the seminary was, she understands that Venerable Mongalana, committed patricide.
Yes.
Okay.
In a previous life.
Yeah. So they were talking about heavy karma and all that. Okay. Yeah. The subject was on that.
Yeah.
So she says that if you commit heavy karma, that means he goes to the deep hells, right? And like for eons, you wouldn't even have a chance to be born as a human being. So in this case, how could he have been born and as a human being and then get to become the chief disciple? I mean, she didn't say that. Thinking is, how did he come to be a chief disciple of the Buddha?
Yeah.
So would Bratio like to comment on this?
Can, but what is the answer more important?
You will see that
it's very different. We have people with different understanding, understand them differently. But for me, my nature will know. I can understand how this happened. What was their answer? It will be interesting.
I think that time they were talking about hell and all that. So the Venerable answered that, yes, he did go to hell. So, but my answer is like, my question is, I didn't ask, but I'm asking you, Brother, is how did he have the chance to become a chief disciple of the Buddha?
Oh,
is it because in his previous lives he has done many good things?
That was a different condition. You see, what happened is, when it comes to karma, because you come as a living being, not necessarily human being. You take birth as living being. You know the difference. Living being means you can be animals, you can be devas, or you can be non-human, and whatever rhyme within the 31 plane. Sometimes born as human, but most of the time may not be. So all this segmented life, you don't know what you do unless you walk the Bodhisattva way. You have clear understanding of the Dhamma, then you know how to make the vow. So that life after life you come, you have this understanding. But before that, chances are, in certain life, you could have made some serious mistake. Like in the case of Mongalana, it was because the wife and him, they were selfish. And you can say partly because influenced by the wife, maybe, but not necessary, because they plotted against their parent. They pretend to like bring their parent for holiday or the other one. Then the parents were blind. Then they pretend that there were people who wants to rob them, wants to harm them and kill them and all those things. So they created that thing. Then the parent, out of love and compassion, shouted to Mongalana and the wife, means their daughter-in-law, "You all run. You don't have to worry about us. We are already old. We are also a burden to you. So you don't have to worry about us." And ask them to run. And you know what happened? Is they all running? The two of them actually killed the parent. And the heavy karma was very severe. So that life, they cannot run. It's definitely 100% they will take birth deep in the hell. But it doesn't mean after that, let's say after that, maybe for very long, you are down there. Then you come out. It doesn't mean your karma is gone. Do you understand? Karma is a very funny one. Sometimes they call this the whole karma between kun, you understand? Tin kan. It's just like you go for a certain type of sickness diagnosis. You got the doctor who actually treated you. Then you recover. You recover actually. No more problem for a long time. Then later on, maybe you are too complacent. Then you forgot to take care. You go back to your old way. Then there is condition for this to recur. And when it recur, it's because there is condition for it to recur. You understand? So what happened is, all these are tied in with the condition of Mongalana. Mongalana, being the chief disciple, one of the chief disciples of Sakyamuni, was because of his affinity with Sakyamuni Buddha. And during many past encounters together with Sariputta, they were good friends. And even in that life, the Jataka story, they have a vow between them. Whoever who found the teacher will let the other one know before they go together to see them. That's why this life, they went together. And the Buddha knew because of past condition, they will become chief disciple. But the event that happened during that life and the parent that the Mongalana killed is very, very long, long ago. Maybe eons and eons ago. So it has nothing to do with why they are human beings. Because the karmic conditioning, or the karmic friction vipaka that took place long ago finish and they can come out. And the other thing that you have to understand is, like the Buddha mentioned in the paragraph, he said, the Buddha said, all living beings have action or volition as their karma, as their own karmic causes that give rise to karmic inheritance. That's why they have karma as their own, as their inheritance, their co-genitor cause, their kinsman, their refuge. it is karma that differentiates beings into low and high state. So this one is another expression of what the Buddha used to explain. He said, all living beings, we are heir to our karma, means you inherit them. Then you are born of your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma. You are what you are because of your karma. So this part is the same. So you reap what you sow. So because of karma, that life, immediately, Mongalana and the wife, they must have gone down. And for many lives, they were down there. Then when condition is ready for them to come out as human beings, he also has his parami. Then especially later birth, when he has the good condition to cultivate, and when he can have the affinity and the condition to make that vow, that aspiration, and requested for causes and conditions for him to have the ability to become the Buddha's chief disciple, one of the Buddha's chief disciple. And he specialized in psychic. His supernormal power, psychic power, is very powerful. He's foremost in that. So because of that good karmic conditioning, he was able to become a human being cultivator for many lives. Then during that life of the Buddha, because he became an arahant, then there is such condition for that karmic retribution of what he did to the parent to manifest. Do you know what are the conditions? I told you all before. Can you remember? Anybody can remember?
I think.
After many times. Beaten, yeah. What are the conditions? Because he has this psychic. That's why he has this condition. During that time, a lot of the other teachers, cultivator and famous teacher, they wanted to bring down the Buddha's reputation, because after Sakyamuni Buddha come about, a lot of these good, rich, wealthy supporter, they somehow end up supporting Sakyamuni Buddha. Then the other teachers, they find that their supporter are less and leaving them. So a group of them, they were not happy. So they want to plot against the Buddha. And they knew, to bring the Buddha down, you have to bring Mongalana down. You know why or not? Because Mongalana has been foremost in psychic. So every time the other teacher claimed that their disciple, after they die, they are born in the heaven and all those things, or they are already enlightened and all those things, you know what Mongalana did? He go and check. Then he realized, no, they are in hell. They are in other rhyme. So because of that, all the devotees who supported the other teacher are all scared. So run away. So because of that, they have to plot to kill him. So they actually hired people to kill Mongalana. And because Mongalana got psychic, you know what happened? Every time before they can come and kill him, he know. And he used his psychic to avoid them. He disappeared or he just levitated and flew away and manifest somewhere else. But then the funny thing is, for 6 times, it happened. Then because he's an arahant, he has his parami, he knows about karma. So he checked his own life. And after he checked his own life, he realized because of the karmic that he committed, patricide and matricide during that life, this is the condition for its arising. That's why he accepted it. After the 6th time, he didn't want to disappear. He just let them go ahead. And they really clobber him and smash him up. And according to the sutta, this one I heard from Reverend Suwano, and I don't know how true, but I think must be true. Because he got psychic, they smash him out until he actually nobody can survive already. you really did already. Every part was being smashed out. But because of his psychic, he was able to gather them all back together. Of course, not in full shape or full health, but he managed to retain his consciousness, and he used his psychic to appear in front of the Buddha, Sakyamuni, and pay his respect and told the Buddha he is leaving. Yeah. So these are the conditions behind. So a lot of people cannot understand. Yeah. The condition behind, the sutta never say. Yeah. The sutta only say the last part where I heard from Reverend Suwarno. The moment I heard that, I know what are the conditions behind. So sometimes certain type of skill that you acquire, like psychic ability or mongalana, it may not be something wholesome, understand? No? It may work against you. Yeah. So, yes, Chui. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Parinibbana, parinibbana. Yeah. Because he already understood it's coming on. So he came and just paid his respect and told the Buddha he will cease and realize parinibbana. And the Buddha knew. That's why both his chief disciples, Sariputta and Moggallana, they passed away before the Buddha. Yeah. The Buddha actually passed away quite young, you realize, huh? 80, compared to Ananda, they are 120. Mahakasapa also supposed to be 120. But some say Mahakasapa is still in the Himalayas until today. So it's up to you to understand. But what is more important is, you see, if the two pass away before him, means they are quite young. Do you understand? It's not decide. Because when you know how to endure, yeah? When you know how to endure, you can endure, but it's coming. It's coming. So he can endure. Until they have enough of him, they already 100% confirm he's dead, then they left. When he left, Moggallana can still summon his psychic ability where his consciousness is still there. Then after he summoned, he wants to pay his last respect to the teacher and to inform the teacher. Otherwise, people don't know what happened to him. But of course, the Buddha uses supernormal power, can also find out if he wants to. But instead of allowing all this thing to become a mystery, then you know outside people, you know what they will say or not? They will say, "Ayo, Moggallana, chief disciple of the Buddha, foremost in psychic, also kena kill." Understand not? And kill until smash out, until don't know where the body is. That type of news is not favorable. So that's why he went. Then the Buddha knew. That's why the Buddha can tell all the disciples is because of karmic. Moggallana has left us. Yeah. So all this is understanding. So when you have the understanding, then you know what are the conditions behind. So karma is not something that is easily understood. Because later on, you read on, there is a passage I remember. But just now before the class start, I just flicked through it. If you go to this page. Page 47. Second last paragraph. Here is mentioned, karma is certainly an intricate law whose working is fully comprehended only by a Buddha. The Buddhists aim at the final destruction of all karma. This one depends on how you understand the meaning of this sentence. It's not to say you aim to destroy all karma, understand not? Karma cannot be destroyed. And karma also cannot end, understand? Because it's unending. So what is proper is the Buddhists aim at realizing the enlightenment, Nibbana, so that they can be free from all suffering, so that they need not actually come back with a rebirth consciousness. You understand? With a rebirth consciousness, means with avijja. So what happened here is, you cannot try to end karma. No way. You need wisdom to liberate your mind, to free your mind. So the realization of Nibbana is the most important. And when that is realized, after parinibbana, no more rebirth. Whatever karma that is still within the karmic nature will be stored in that karmic nature. That's it. So if that being choose the bodhisattva way to come back, then that karmic thing is still around. That's why it can condition rebirth consciousness, a form of mind to arise again through the pure mind, no more through ignorance. Yeah. But if he is just an arahant, he don't take the bodhisattva way, then immediately after that segmented life, death consciousness, there is no rebirth consciousness because there is no avijja, no ignorance. Then it just ceases. Yeah. Then a lot of people will be asking the question, then where did the arahant go? They will go and ask this type of question. No? Yeah? Where did you think the arahant go? Huh? You want to try to answer? No? By now you should understand it. Where go arahant? Arahant is the form of mind, understand? No? Where can it go? It just is to be, because it's not a being, understand? No? The one that takes rebirth is also not a being, understand? No? It's another form of mind. If it's due to avijja, ignorant, then ignorant condition rebirth consciousness. Then another form of mind arises. He know you, he know me. Do you understand? That's why the question of where did the arahant go? It seems in the Jataka story, yeah, there was a what they call another religion. Yeah? He's supposed to be psychic also, very powerful psychic. He came and he told the people in the village and the town. He said, whoever died, I will know where his rebirth is. Where did he take birth and all those things. Yeah. And he was very accurate. Very accurate. Then everybody also become interested. So the news spread. So it seems like Mangalana. Then the Buddha actually wanted to help this psychic guy. Because if he is willing to listen without the arrogance, he also can become enlightened. So what happened was, the Buddha used his psychic and managed to get hold of, I think, two or three skulls. Yeah. One of the skulls is an arahant. One of the skulls is an arahant. So, if I'm not wrong, this one also again, Reverend Suwando, he passed the skull to this psychic. The first two he predicted. The third one he keep on knocking, he can't find where the being take birth. So he was speechless. Then he knew Sakyamuni is not an ordinary teacher. For him to be able to come out with the three skulls and put it to him to ask him to find out where they take birth is definitely not an ordinary teacher. So the third one, the last one, he can't. He just give up. He said, I don't know where did he go. The Buddha said, very good. Because this one is an arahant, he said. No more rebirth. Then only he start to understand that there can be such a being as an arahant who can transcend birth and death. And this is what the real enlightened being is. That's why finally I think that the ascetic, he actually managed to follow Sakyamuni Buddha and take refuge. Then finally, I think, if I'm not wrong, he also became enlightened. So this is the interesting part about karma. Then he practiced all the psychic to find out where people take birth. For one. Then finally, given a skull of an arahant, you cannot find out where he was. And that was the motivation also for the understanding to come about. So this is the part that I want to share. So I think I have answered your question, Fiji. Okay, anybody else want to try or got any question? Anybody? Don't have, then we go on. PG.
If a person is in the habit of harming others with fist or cloth, with cruel and or sword, he, as a result of his harmfulness when born amongst mankind, will suffer from various diseases. If a person is not in the habit of harming others, he, as a result of his harmlessness when born amongst mankind, will enjoy good health.
So you see the two big differences. One is killing, one is harming. Killing gives rise to short life. Non-killing gives rise to long life. Harming gives rise to what? Disease. Understand? Suffering. Because when you harm people, what happens? You cause so much suffering to people, isn't it? So disease is the thing that can make you miserable too. So sometimes no need to have condition to be whacked by people. Your DNA is coded in such a way, you suffer miserable death because of disease. So this one is something that you have to keep in mind. If you want to have good health, don't harm people. Don't harm anything. Take care. There was also a Jataka story, I think, about one person who, in the one of the monk, before he died, he was actually having this type of disease, pus, P-U-S, nana, pus, came out from all over his body, you know, until all the monks also scared of him, you know, they're not attend to him, you know. And you know what happened? Finally, the Buddha came to know, and the Buddha knew it's coming. The Buddha said, "Okay, I will take care of you." Then he asked Ananda to prepare. Ananda felt so bad, what the Buddha himself take care of. So they all decided to help and all those things. And the Buddha explained to Ananda and the rest of the monk. He said, "This monk, in one of the lay life in the past, he liked to sell this, what they call, I don't know whether, we call it satay or what. You go and roast the meat. But this one is, I think he actually catch these birds. Then he roast them and sell them. So what happened was, he was lazy to keep the bird, And he don't want to kill them. Because after you kill them, it's not fresh. That time, no fresh, I think. So he break his wing, Break the bird's wing, So much suffering, Every bird, so many of the bird that he sold later on, And because of that, when he, that lie became, finally he became an arahant. Well, the Buddha teach him how to contemplate and reflect on the suffering and all those things, and ask him to endure and accept because of past coming, karma. So all this you don't play a fool. Even as a monk having this ability to become enlightened, the karma is so severe that that life, it manifests through his bodily sickness and all those things. That's why you don't play a foolish karma. Karma is one thing that you cannot play with. You have to really, really abide by it. you cannot go against karma. That's why my nature came to know. Immediately it showed it to me during the early days of my cultivation. Then I had this deep understanding, you cannot play a fool with karma. In Hokkien, I used to tell people, bo kao lu bo xiong xin, because it's like that. The nature's law is so powerful, keep on showing it to you, keep on coming back to you. And not only you see it in yourself, you see it in others too. Then you start to see everywhere. Then you start to understand the law of cause and effect, dependent originating, condition arising. Then your understanding becomes different. Especially when you walk the Bodhisattva way, the understanding is so different. Then all this become like easy to comprehend. That's why I used to tell most of the Kayamita who are close to me, I got no psychic, nothing. I cannot read mind, I cannot do all those funny things. But people tend to tell me, it's like, Brother Teo, no one know. Oh, what you want to know, during the talk he will share, and it come direct to you. That one is because this nature has that understanding. And not to say I read your mind or what, no. Because my nature, through the condition that manifests, through the sensitivity of this nature, it will know what to share and what to say and to who. Everyone is different. That's why that ability is not a knowledge. Do you understand? Because that one, every incident and everyone is different. Every condition is different. Every civilization is different. So it's not a knowledge where you apply. You know, it's an understanding. When you understand that nature understands, you will know what to do. You will know how to guide you, teach you. Then when there is condition, you will know how to manifest. That's it. So cultivation is not what people think. And the law of karma, I tell you, is very complicated. Very, very complicated. Not until you are a great being. Chances are you can't understand. Because a lot of possibility behind. Like I used to share. There are so many possibility and variation. Even earlier on, we share about the karmic thing. Among my brothers and sisters and others thing. Then other people too. So you can see them, you can witness them in life. Then even our political scenario election. Now we are becoming more and more famous. And people like to quote Malaysia now. Because really you can see the drastic change. And a lot of thing is going to happen somehow because of what happened. And it's really meant to be and very historical. It is a real great event. And we are so blessed, able to be part of history, to witness what happened. And with our understanding and our condition, we are really blessed in that sense. Okay, yeah, now you can continue. Anybody want to add anything, you can put up your hand or ask PG any question. Go ahead, don't be shy. This is how you learn, otherwise you won't learn. Okay, anybody? Put up your hand. Han. Come, pass to you the mic.
Actually, I want to share something that I actually see it in India. When the early days when I went to India, then I see all those young children running on the street without the four requisite. No, early in the morning when we go to a temple, it was so cold, and then they hardly only just a torn dress, for a little girl. Then I look at them, this is real poverty, Then when I came home. When I open my door, then I tell myself, what else I want if I'm not contented? After that, I heard a CD from the late chief saying that there are people just enough merits for to take a human life without the four requisites. Then you remind me of the kids of India, in India, you know, without the four requisites. So it's so important that in life that we must have enough merits so that we don't have to go through all this poverty.
Yeah, very true. Because these four requisites are basic requisite for monks to receive. You use this, I use that. Thank you so much for the sharing from Han, Sister Han. You see, this four requisite is mainly for monks. But for lay people, according to Maslow's need theory or need hierarchy, you heard of Maslow? Those who study economics or management, they will know. So, what are the basic needs of a normal human being, lay person especially? We talk about food and so these two also you don't have, I tell you, life can be pretty miserable. That's why take care of karma, be generous, be kind, have generosity, then provide for people who are less fortunate, help them. Food and shelter, give. If you want to become monk, then you make sure you offer the four requisites often and rejoice, so that wherever you are, in whatever civilization and condition, the moment you renounce, the four requisites will be there. You will be like blessed. Then as living being or human being, when you come to this world, because of your generosity, parami, you reap what you sow. You will receive. The more you give, the more you receive. That's why all this, not only food and shelter, your wealth, your property, your, they call your good luck, nothing to do with luck. They come about because of your good karmic inheritance, your parami. So these are the things that you need to bear in mind. That's why this topic is very useful. It actually covers a complete range of life understanding. That's why I said, basically, from karma, you can understand all of life. Because the moral causation part is the bulk of life. Every human being that come, every moment there is this thought process, there is this chetana, mental volition arising. And each and every of this mental volition is what karma is all about. So the summation of all this karmic volition, whether through action, speech or thought or livelihood, they become karma. They become your karmic nature. And from there, it will continue to haunt you. That's why you are born of karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma. And you are what you are because of your karma, every moment, every instant. If that is the nature's law, then what must you do? Very simple, isn't it? What must you do? What must you do? You must take care of karma. Then every time contemplate, reflect, have I taken care of karma? And how can I take care of karma? That is the inquiry. You have to follow the advice of all the Buddha, Anasana, which is Dhammapada verse 183. That's why I learn to chant. Sabba papasa akaranang. Kusalesa upasamadan sacitta pariyotapadang etang buddhana sasana. So that you understand the advice of the Buddha very clearly. Sabbe is all. Papasa is evil. Akaranang. All evil you have to avoid. Not only avoid evil. All evil. Then when it comes to wholesomeness, kusalesa, he never say sabbe kusalesa. He just say kusalesa upasambadan. Wherever there is condition for wholesomeness, you have to cultivate them. You have to develop them. Then when it comes to the mind, he said, sacitta pariyodapanang. You have to purify this mind, the mundane mind, the deluded mind. You have to straighten this view. You have to develop understanding, wisdom connected to it. Otherwise, you will suffer. And these are the advice of all Buddha. So easy, so clear. Then ask yourself, how can I avoid evil? How can you avoid evil? What must you do to avoid evil? Yeah, do good. Avoid evil. But how do you avoid evil? That one is to get wisdom. But how do you avoid evil?
You must understand what is evil.
Ah, very good. Then, after that, the Buddha's advice is what? Keep your... Why keep precept? Because you check all the five precepts. Those who violate the precepts are evil people. They have the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. That's why you keep your precept, you violate all the major evils. There is a guideline, understand? What is important is, like PG said, you have to understand what constitutes evil. What constitutes loba, greed. It's not only greediness. It's all of your selfishness, your possessiveness, your lust, your craving, your grasping, your clinging, your attachment. All this is part of greed, loba. Then what constitutes dosa, or the evil roots of anger, hatred? They include your envy, your jealousy, your dislike, your unhappiness. All this is part of the evil root. Then what constitutes delusion, self-delusion, sakkaya ditti? All of your self-delusion means you think this belongs to you. You think there is a person, there is a personality behind. That's why this one can develop the selfishness, the greed, the lust, the craving, the desire for things. Then when it cannot get what it wants, it suffers. Then this one, because you think you exist, there is fear, there is worry, there is anxiety, there is sorrow, there is lamentation, there is insecurity. So all this is part of self-delusion, moha. Then when you cultivate, when you understand what constitutes evil, then easy. When you are mindful and heedful, you are sensitive. The evil roots are there, you know, it will make you evil. That's why all the wrong thought you will understand. Thought that condition, the fear, the worry, the anxiety, the sorrow, the lamentation, the evil roots. All these things become very clear. They're very easy to cultivate. If you don't go and develop the understanding of the essential Dhamma of what constitutes evil and what constitutes wholesome, the advice of the Buddha, you cannot cultivate. I already mentioned many times. And how to apply the four right effort to abandon the unwholesome thought, the wrong thought, the wrong action and the wrong speech and the wrong livelihood. Then the right effort to prevent them from arising when you have the understanding and the wisdom. Then the right effort to cultivate the right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood that are still not in you. So to do that, you have to understand what constitutes right thought, what constitutes right speech, what constitutes right action, and right livelihood. These are very important. Thoughts that are wholesome, free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Thought of contentment, love, generosity, kindness, gentleness, pleasantness, wholesomeness. All these are your right thought, all your virtuous thought, your good thought, the wholesome thought that brings about love, harmony, understanding that can relieve people's suffering. That's why the gift of what they call faith means you prevent people from developing fear. The gift of faith, the gift of what they call confidence. So that people who have suffering, who goes through all this fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, they can receive this faith from you, this understanding from you, so that they can calm themselves down, so that they can actually develop the peaceful mind, the calm mind, to turn around, to develop the understanding, to liberate their mind, to be free from those delusion, attachment, craving, and all those things. So unless you go into all this, you have not started your cultivation, I tell you. Because heedfulness is most important. When you are heedful, you are ever mindful to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. And the whole Noble Eightfold Path is whole practice, starting from right view, conditioning, right thought, right speech, and right action, and right life view, then the four right efforts, then Samasati and Samasamadhi, all the eight path factors, you have to cultivate them. And the field is so wide, so extensive. That's why it's like unending. And cultivation is not just about going to retreat, sit, meditate. You have to understand what you are doing in the name of meditation. All these are conditions for you to train your mind to be mindful, then stabilize it to be ever mindful, so that the first aspect of heedfulness come about. Then use the ever mindful mind to meditate, to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. Then you become heedful, and the heedful never die. That's how the whole cultivation come about. If you don't do that, you only learn knowledge. You never learn the Dhamma. So this is a very important understanding. That's why all along I keep on emphasizing the second turning of the fourth noble truth. This Noble Eightfold Path is to be cultivated. Always remember that. You have to put them into cultivation. Otherwise you can't learn. Okay, very good. We should thank Han for the good condition. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, PG, continue.
If a person is wrathful and turbulent, is irritated by a trivial word, gives vent to anger, ill will and resentment, he, as a result of his irritability, when born amongst mankind, will become ugly. Chamlo like this. I always get irritated so fast. Next time, born ugly.
So you know, why are you not pretty this life?
Hello?
You want to be like pretty loy loy, like Yun Chan, that lang loy, don't get angry. Don't get angry. Joyce, you also, actually Yun Chan, very lang loy during the early years. Now also lang loy. Where got old? Oh, yeah. Martin 93, you know. You still got 20 over 30 years to cash out. Hey, you never know. You may outlive Martin. Because she actually very fit, you know. Actually, she older than me, you know. Oh, you look at her. Never overweight one, small size, that's why they say very miao tiao. You know what is miao tiao not? Oh, lay sick ah? Oh, I'm chaw. Oh, I thought your Mandarin so only. Miao tiao, huh? Hiyo, hiyo. Yeah. You don't have that problem of what they call too much belly fat. Oh, muscle is. But you never grew fat. Ever since the first day I saw you until now, Yun Chan never grew fat. Right? Yun Chan grew fat means something wrong, you see. No, you eat how much also cannot put on weight on. That's why she very blessed. Huh? So we want to check the law of karma. Do you get angry very often? That's the secret, PJ. Next time you want to be like Yun Chan. If a person is not rageful, what is rageful? Vengeful.
Vengeful.
Vengeance, a lot of vengeance on, very angry on it. Hold a lot of rage on it. The English word rage, W-R-A-T-H, rageful. Rash, thank you. Ruffle, Ruffle, wow. Very difficult to learn. Chewy, very good. Ruffle. What's the meaning, Chewy? Full of anger. Revenge, want to take revenge on, is it? Bursting with anger. Emotion and anger. Oh, wow. That's why if you like that, you show ugly. So you look at all the ugly, you check their personality, then you will know. So all the langlois means they don't have all this.
No lah, that is their past lives, ma.
Oh,
so
not this
if
life.
If you're pretty, you must also take care. If not, next time you'll be born ugly.
So this one is very important. It's not irritated even by a torrent of abuse. Does not give vent to anger, ill will, and resentment. He, as a result of his amiability, when born among mankind, will become beautiful. So, Yan, when your husband scolds you, neck you, smile back. Thank you. Thank you for testing me. like Socrates, he said, I learned so much from my wife. The wife looked down upon him. Every time he called him a stupid fellow, he said, go and say all these things. Socrates was so wise, ahead of his time, until he was put in jail for being too frank and too outspoken. And the wife cannot tahan him. Every time he said that's how he practiced perfection of patience. By accepting what the wife did to him. So indirectly, if you can cultivate this, you will have good personality. You will have beauty also. Okay, good. PG, you got anything to add on?
I cannot say too much because I'm a very impatient person.
So you have some of this tendency,
A lot of it.
A lot, which
particular especially
one?
When I have to deal with the contractors. That is a real test.
Yeah.
But my last two projects.
Different,
I tell you, very different.
No more like last time already. So next future life pretty already.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Want already. To be pretty must do that.
Yeah, very good. That's why this law of karma, you can learn a lot of things, I tell you. When you are mindful of all this, you will know what to do. If you want to take care of life, you don't want to have this, when you come again, or you have to come, then make sure you take care of karma. Otherwise, all this will follow you. That's why you cannot simply get angry. Watchful. I don't know how to pronounce. Chui also laugh. Never mind, I will slowly learn. Continue, okay.
Okay, this one. To all the women, listen carefully. If a person is jealous, envies the gains of others, marks of respect and honor shown to others, stores jealousy in his heart, he, as a result of his jealousy, when born among mankind, will be powerless. If a person is not jealous, does not envy the gains of others, marks of respect and honor shown to others, stores not jealousy in his heart, he, as a result of his absence of jealousy, when born amongst mankind, will be powerful.
Yeah, he is a great leader. That's why he's very powerful. That's why he don't get jealous. He can yan, no? And people say 90-year-old still want to contest. Oh, he never get angry. The way he reply very good. Yeah, 90-year-old. Maybe you think I'm old, but I can still ride horses, is it? I can still drive nice car. And I can still take Najib. Take on Najib and remove it. Well, he really did it. That one was a great honor. So this one also very interesting. But I think those who have the Dhamma, the jealousy thing all cannot happen already. After so many years in the Dhamma, you can still get jealous or not? If your husband go and fool around, toxic, you can still get jealous or not?
You warn him of the consequences.
Oh, see, a lot of us can laugh already. Oh, last time very serious. Means happened before. We all get angry before. That's why jealousy is something that can make you miserable, I tell you. Why must you get jealous? Jealous for what? He know you, he know me. He has his karma, doesn't he? You have your karma, you take care of your karma. If he wants to do that, that is his choice, his life, his karma. But funny thing is, you get angry over what he did. Then you want to quarrel with him, you want to fight with him, you become miserable over him. I don't know why human being can become like that. You never love yourself, isn't it, when you do all these things. True or not? If you love yourself, you where can get angry, jealous, and harm yourself and hurt yourself and become miserable over what people done? Because you possess it. You think he's your husband.
Brother, if you don't have the Dhamma, it's very hard to possess.
Oh, I agree. If you don't have the Dhamma, it's very difficult.
Yeah.
But what I'm trying to tell people is, why do you do that? Why don't you ask yourself this question? Do you love yourself? If you love yourself, you don't harm yourself, hurt yourself, and make yourself miserable this way. Through what? Through attachment, through wrong thought, through getting angry over your so-called husband or spouse. That is delusion, isn't it? I mean, to me, when I was young, I can't comprehend all this when people become like that. Means you're harming yourself, hurting. And when I see people get angry, I felt inside, how come human beings can be like that? They don't even know that they have become miserable. They don't love themselves. They make themselves so miserable until they reacted and hit out at others and do all those violent things. And make themselves miserable. And not only that, make others miserable too, and pollute the world consciousness and everything. That's why I look at it, I feel funny. I say, how can human beings do that? Because they don't understand this part. They don't love themselves. They don't have love. Born ignorant. Very good. Yeah, Chui is right. That's why through ignorance you do foolish things. Understand? And Mahayana use a stronger word, do stupid things. Greed, hatred, the last one they don't call delusion. They call stupidity. You remember Mahayana? Shenhua one? Greed, hatred, and stupidity. Shenhua? Don't write that. He liked the word stupidity. He liked to use the word stupid. But actually, when I reflect back, he is correct. Really stupid, isn't it? When you are deluded, you do stupid thing, really stupid thing. You harm yourself, hurt yourself, and make yourself miserable over nothing. Very good. Yeah. Anybody else want to share about this? Anybody? Don't have then. PG, continue.
If a person does not give anything for charity, he, as a result of his greediness, when born amongst mankind, will be poor.
If a person is bent on charitable giving, he, as a result of his generosity, when born amongst mankind, will be rich.
Most of us are okay, in this aspect. Because most of you did a lot of charity, I realize. As Buddhists, somewhere along the line, somehow or rather, you will do a lot of charity. You tend to donate with understanding, and now you have joy donating. Last time, when you don't understand, sometimes you can be like, what you call that? Miser. Is it a miser? In Cantonese, it's called what? Giam siap. Stingy. Kuhon. So, mseta. And last time I used to have this classmate and schoolmate or unimate. They say, so lazy. Don't know how to go and walk. Is it? Got hand, got arm, go and back. They say this one. They really cannot take it one. Then they don't want. They just don't want to donate. He said, uchi uka biao jo gang. To him it's like that, no? Got leg, got hand, don't know how to work. Why you want to beg? I got money also, I don't want to give you. They think like that one, no? Funny, no? I cannot understand, no? For me, is if got condition, you pity them, if it's genuine, I don't mind giving them some money. Because sometimes it's not because they want to do it. Circumstances. Sometimes you don't know what is behind, but of course there are also a lot of bogus ones who prey on your so-called compassion some they put on an act one. You have to be careful. Don't be a kind-hearted fool. But there are many incidents where it's genuine. I have seen some. There was one, my wife used to, when we go for dinner, there was one lady last time used to be employed as a helper by people. Then she fell. Then I think she got into some problem, cannot work anymore. So she was out of job. Then pity her. Then she go about like trying to sell things. So we used to patronize from her. But the thing he sell was lottery. So lottery, how many times can you buy? not to say video. My wife always help her and buy two or what. But sometimes you pity this type of people. But it's their karma, understand not? They don't have the Dhamma. If they have the Dhamma, they will know what to do. But then when you are in a chicken and egg story, what happened? When you yourself don't have enough to go around, can you still do charity? Oh, Yun Chai very good. No? Can. No? Oh, Chui also can. No? Wow, oh, Kayamita, fantastic. Not enough to go around also. Remind me of this story during the Buddha's time. The husband and wife share one sarong and take turn to go and listen to the Dhamma. Then one day the husband's turn, no? The husband was full of joy, though. Then he wants to offer. He got nothing to offer except that sarong. He took it off and finally offered against many, many hard-thinking thoughts. Then finally, when he made the decision to offer, he jumped with joy. And then people saw him without sarong. Then people asked him, why did you jump in joy? He said, I offered the only sarong that I share with my wife. Everybody was so amazed. Then the king heard the story. Then the king actually rewarded him with a lot of sarong. And you know what he did now? He took two and donated the rest. Oh. So you see, people who are generous can be so generous. So just like I asked the question, when you yourself can't make your ends meet, do you think you can still make donation, offering? There are people who can. Do you know that? I have seen people, and people have told me, incident like they themselves were very poor, they don't have enough to eat and go around. Then they saw people coming by worse condition than them. There was one incident, they say they were 2-3 days without food. They need whatever food. And this lady pity them until whatever food that is left balanced on the table, he just take it out and give it to them. Even though some of the children has not really eaten food. And they can just give like that. That's why you have this type of natural instinct. Means you will have good life in the future. When you have condition to receive all this parami is because you have given before. So when you are in such situation in future, there will be people who will come and help you, save you. The dana parami is very true, very, very powerful. I saw it myself. And I also did it many times this line. Then I told my brother, my youngest brother, after he has faith in me, where he saw me so successful and how I used to advise him all day, then he finally decided to follow what my advice was. So. Then he said, okay, I got money already, he said, I want to donate. So he said, how? I said, you donate lah. He said, I don't know, I send money to you, you donate. Send money to me. Then after I donate, money just come to him, no? Keep on coming, no? Until he got so happy, so much joy, he keep on telling me, you know, say, donate some more, and more money come. On. And he end up, he is supposed to be my youngest brother, because he didn't have an education, proper education, he didn't work, and he don't have money one actually. Then even when he was about to get married also, he don't have money. But after he did what I asked him or advised him, money start to come to him. And he keep on becoming so, and he keep on learning a lot of things. Whatever I tell him, he go and read up, he go and learn. Then he became so successful. His karma came back to him. After he start to do that, he connect. Then I told him, you Chinese educated, so far away, Alostar and here, you go to Ji. Then he go to Ji. He learn himself. And he come back and ask me, why they teach this Noble Eightfold Path, all those things. He said, what is all this? Even the Four Noble Truths, he cannot understand. He only heard of Sang Ren teaching all this. Then I explained to him. After I explained to him, he understands so far. That's how he learned. And he see it. That's why he full of faith. Then he go and convince all my other brothers and sisters to join Suji also, to donate and help out in whatever disaster, relief and all those things. That's why this karma thing, you don't play a fool. Really powerful, you can turn people around. And his whole life changed. Then he himself not educated or what. But because he went to Suji and help, he also saw his friend that went to Suji and help. Their children are all very good at study, did very well. All this is coming. After you have this understanding, this goodness, that's why he got a lot of charity parami and money keep on coming to him. Whatever he invests in Natasha, he make his money on. He don't get cheated by people who like bogus people or joint venture with people, the partner cheat. He don't have one. All the people who came to him and have joint venture or partnership, all make money for him. And he keep on calling me. He said, this joint venture with this people, he also become a developer. Small time. Then he said, the project sell very well. The money all coming in, he got a lot of cash. He asked me what to buy. So I recommended him some stuff. He go and buy. He make his money. Then when the market crash, he very happy. He remember what I say. Then he asked me, now crash already, can take out money or not? Can put in or not? The timing was so good. Then my other brother was the same. After he saw him, no education, nothing, become so successful. They also call me. Then they also tell me, when you think need to send money to you, you let me know. Then recently they send some more. I tell you, karma is such, you want to stop also you cannot stop one. Have you heard of these people who, oh, I think among our Kayamita got one. Last time I used to share this though. Your parami is so powerful until, especially Dana parami. I used to share this. I said, I heard a lot of people say also, the money keep on coming until you want to stop also cannot stop one. Then one of the Kayamita, also very successful, he laughed from my hometown. He laughed. Then I said, wow, you must have... He said, yeah, he said, the money come until you want to stop also cannot stop. Keep on coming. Yeah, the business was so good. It makes so much money. And the money keep on coming. That's why you don't think like people who go and study kleptocracy or they, no need, understand? Take care of karma. No need to steal, no need to cheat. Yuan Chan, yes. Yeah. Use the mic, Robert Kwok. Pastor Yuan Chan.
Robert Kwok, his wife, his mother.
His mother is very generous, yes.
During the depression the father spent all the money, no money left. And so, but they have workers to help them with all their business.
Correct. Yes.
So she not enough for food even for themselves.
Yeah,
so she gives to the workers first. You know. And
that's
then
what Prabhupada said
he doesn't have enough to eat at that time.
And yet they pay the worker first.
And they have now become so very rich.
Yeah, wealthy, yes. That's why you must have this generosity in your heart, really, true. And especially in times of need, where you yourself also don't have enough, and yet you can do. I used to hear about the Jataka story about all this sarong thing. Then there was one, Achayantra spoke when I was with him in Australia, Belbert Farm, one of the Katina. He gave this example of also during the time of the Buddha, another Buddha, a long time ago. I think it was Sakyamuni. Sakyamuni was a lay person. But there was one Buddha early on arise. I don't know what Buddha, I forgot. He shared his story. He said the village came to know that this Sammasambuddha is coming to the village. So they all were full of joy. They want to do something. But nobody know what to do, understand or not? They don't have the means to invite, understand or not? But everybody was so poor. So what happened was, one day, somebody suggested, why not we all group together and talk to our boss? Ask the boss to invite. Then maybe the Sammasambuddha will come, understand? Then we can have this special katina or offering and all those things. And they did it, you know. And the boss really agreed, you know, and they do, you know. And Sakyamuni that time was a lay person, you know, one of the very poor worker, you know. And you know what happened? Each and every of these worker, they only have the needle, where they work in the factory, as a means of receiving their salary or their income, you see. So that was the only thing they have, no? They were so poor, no? Then when that Sammasambuddha came, this Sakyamuni-to-be, who was a lay person that life, you know what he did, no? He got nothing to offer, no? He think and try to look for, cannot find anything except that needle. No. He was like the sarong guy, no. Contemplate, no. Reflect. No. If I offer this, I got no more job, how? My family, my children all will be in trouble. But finally, because it was a Sammasambuddha, no, is it? I must not miss this opportunity. You know. Even without food also, I will make the offering. And he really make the offering. No. when I heard that, you know what happened, Lord? Deep inside my heart, the tears came out. And my nature knew I can also do it if I'm faced with that situation. Because this is something that cultivator will do. Because they will know all this form and mind not real, not what you think. And when there is condition to do, you must do. Understand? That's why I say this window, don't miss it. You can do, you better do. Because karma will take care of itself. And after that, he was like the sarong guy, rewarded now. When the boss come to know. Oh, not only gave him new needles, more needles. And all the workers were full of joy on that occasion. That's why that example that he gave touched my heart. That was 1989, I remember. So a lot of this thing about karma, when you understand, is very beautiful. That's why I don't treat this chapter as ordinary Dhamma. No. You can learn a lot if you read up and write notes. Be serious about it. Okay? Yeah. So thank you, Yinshan, for that good sharing. Okay, PJ, continue.
When we're talking about generosity, last Sunday's Pindapata and the lunch dana, so much was donated, Bratio. The food from the Pindapata, there was about 100, and including the extra two monks, I think it's like 102.
Sadhu.
So,
very good.
So beautiful. You see the stretch of the Sangha walking. Wow. Beautiful sight.
Mainly Bhikkhuni, Bhikkhuni and Samaneri.
The food that was donated is like the whole hall is full of things. And the food at the dana is like so much that they don't know what to do with that. In fact, they have to donate to a lot of homes.
Yeah, charity homes.
Charity.
Yeah. That's why you were rejoicing. Because I think what happened was the event is such well organized. It was told by Sui An also, and Mi Feng. They were very well organized. And a lot of people had a lot of joy. And they see a lot of wholesomeness there. And they say it's very rare to have 100 over Nana, Bhikkhuni, and Samaneri, and also one or two monks, I think. A few monks. Three monks. It was an event, I was told. I don't know. I was not there, but I read it on the WhatsApp and I heard from Sui An. They say it's like the sight of the Pindapata was so beautiful. So many of these renowns, especially ladies. Our Kayamita quite a lot there. Quite a lot. Ingbi was there.
Yeah.
Then this Tammy's mother was there.
Yeah.
Then there were a lot. Not only Thursday class, quite a lot when? Thursday class.
Bratio, when they came back from the Pindapata, no doubt it's such a long walk and a lot of them are not used to it.
The leg all but barefooted.
You can see they were so
happy.
Yes, they were so
happy.
And the teacher, the Venerable Su, was so happy to see them.
I was told because there was a Russian lady, Russian lady. Samaneri, yes.
Samaneri.
Then from many countries, many other countries.
From many countries,
Vietnam. That's why Lady Era.
The rise of the
rise
Bhikkhuni.
Of the. Now they say even politically, they want to empower wanita, ladies. So now ladies are coming up. More ladies in the cabinet. No lah, still men more lah. Compared to last time, it's a lot more ladies. Yeah, I agree.
We are in the time of Aquarius.
A lot of young ones. Very good. Yeah, deputy also many lady. This time around, the cabinet very interesting. Yeah, but you realize or not, Tony Pua and Nuru not there. Maybe ask Chui, Chui should know. Why are they not there? Okay. Yeah. Okay, then what about Tony Pua and Nuru? Why are they not there? They say earmarked for GLC, for big things. But Nuru is a Malay. But Nuru is a Malay. She's not in the cabinet. The father there, the mother there, the daughter also there, the dynasty will be formed. Yeah, Tony Pua. Okay. Yeah, kota, yeah. That's why Kit Siang also not there. No? Yeah, he doesn't want to be. Yeah. Yeah. That was what they tried to sound out, yeah. But they didn't demand anything. Yeah. Oh, 10:30 already. So we can continue with Chui. We stop the recording.
I think let me finish this lah. Then we next one we will go. Okay. If a person is stubborn, haughty, honors not those who are worthy of honor, he as a result of his arrogance and irreverence, when born amongst mankind, will be low birth. If a person is not stubborn, not haughty, honors those who are worthy of honor, he as a result of his humility and deference, when born amongst mankind, will be of high born. If a person does not approach the learned and the virtuous and inquire what is good and what is evil, what is right and what is wrong, what should be practiced and what should not be practiced, what should be done and what should not be done, what conduces one's welfare and what to one's ruin, he as a result of his non-inquiring spirit when born among mankind will be ignorant. If a person does approach the learned and the virtuous and make inquiries in the foregoing manner, he as a result of his inquiring spirit when born amongst mankind will be intelligent. So ask more questions.
Yeah, that's why I give you the condition you don't know. Not only ask questions, inquire into everything from the wise law. The key word is from the wise law. Don't go and simply ask until political or not. Correct. This is a condition of society. Got such sutta. Changki. C Canki. I haven't heard of.
This is not me.
It's
not mine.
Oh.
What I am.
Oh. Oh. Okay.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I like Robert Kennedy. It was a Kennedy. The American president last time. John Kennedy. John F. JF. Oh, JF Kennedy. You know what he said or not? He told the American people, you know, don't ask what America can do for you, you know. Ask what you can contribute towards America. Or what you can do for America. That is a very good one. Understand not? That's why do away with selfishness to what? Don't everything also expect people to do for you, you know. My country not doing this for me. My company not doing this for me. But you never ask the other way around, you know. What can you do for your country and your people? Yeah. So when you reverse it, it becomes a totally different understanding. You realize or not? That's why selfishness and generosity is just the understanding. The moment you understand, do you know what generosity is? You think you give. You always think you give, isn't it? But the law of karma say, you reap what you sow. No? You understand? So what you give is what you give to your karmic inheritance, no? Your nature, no? Actually, your nature receive, no? Whatever you give, you will receive back. You understand? You reap what you sow. So whatever evil you do to people will come back to you. So why are you still so foolish? Can't understand this law. Still think that you give. You gain. You steal, you gain. Kleptocracy, gain. No, you have to pay back a lot, heavy. Sometimes you don't know how much you have to pay. Huh? Huh? Oh, Tabung Harapan, that one is different. Huh? That one people just donate. Huh? Yeah, you have the means. You give with joy and understanding is very good because you are not only helping people. You are helping the country. The country, when they recover, the people will benefit. So a lot of wholesomeness there when you understand.
Can I talk about that?
Can, yeah.
So there is a thing called balance between giving to the sangha and giving to...
Oh, I fully agree.
And many
yeah.
People, I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My little observation.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I think I have explained before already. Yeah? Because Chuis question is very good. Is that there is this common question of who to give to. They always say it's better to give to the Sangha, understand not? Than to give to ordinary lay people and all those things. Then sometimes they even have this type of teaching, I remember during the older day. If you were to give to 100, don't know 100 or 1,000 lay people who don't keep the five precepts, the karma is just equivalent to giving to one who keep the five precepts. You understand? Then he said, you give, don't know, 100 or 1,000 of these five preceptors, cannot compare to, maybe equivalent to a person whom you give, who holds the eight precepts. Then you know what they say? The monk holds 227 precepts. Huh? So you know the amount of merits or not. I tell you, you understand karma like that, you finish already. It's not about the greed for merit. Calculating how much merit I will get if I give to this one, better. No. The Buddha say the three criteria. Summa Masa sahagatang, soma nasa sahagatang, asangkarikang. Asangkarikang is less. Nyana sampai yutang means you give in knowledge, with wisdom, with understanding. then spontaneously you give. These are the criteria for the highest merit. Means at all times, when you give, before you give, after you give, you rejoice, understand? Somanasa sahagatang. Then nyana sampai utang. You give with understanding. The one that need, you should give, understand not? If the monk is already so well supported, you think got any different or not? You give some more. Doesn't mean no merit, got merit. But they are not in need, understand not? The one in need, the really poor one, because I tested it. I saw God, I really give. And immediately, the thing manifests, effective. And I can feel it. It's the person in need. Sometimes this person can be very poor, never keep precept. We're too poor to even find that food and shelter. He got where? Got time to keep the precept. Understand? But they are in need. And the people who are in need is the people whom you should help straight away. That's why I used to tell you all, whether I know them or I don't know them, not important. If there is condition, my nature will manifest. It will help. It will teach. It will share. It will give. But when there is no condition, then you already have all this sufficient. There is no point in that. You give to a billionaire a 100,000 donation, you think got effect or not? You think he's going to give you good karma? Oh, because he's so blessed. No, because you are giving not to relieve suffering, not to help out the situation. To him is, what are you trying to do? I got billions, you give me 100,000. What is 100,000? Yeah, he don't appreciate, understand? No? That's why sometimes you go wedding or what, you want to show off, you go and give a big ang pao. You think your 1,000 is very big, isn't it? But to them, they are so wealthy, they receive other people, like our friends say, all these are donation, no? The back and all those things. How to compare? They say, oh, yo, this fellow is so good. 1,000 only. What? People may think like that, you know. Understand? So, giving is with wisdom, understanding. If you don't have wisdom, you end up doing all this gullible thing. No point. And it has to be spontaneous, though, not prompted. Spontaneous means you feel that there is condition, then you straight away do. Understand? No, no need to wait till people, this one, very good. Oh, they got 7 monks, can form Sangha. This one got 100 old monks. Then you become what? Out of what? Out of grief for that merit you go and do. Understand? That is. No problem. It's still a merit. It's still a merit. Yes. Yeah. Let's say this one maybe not in the sutta. Never talk of political donation, is it? Correct or not? Let's say you had donated to Pakatan earlier on before they won the election. Then those money like to Rafizi side and they do all the invoke and all. And because of all these conditions, and even Mahathir also mentioned, first time he joined opposition, first time he go campaign, he saw the response. His heart also touched, you know, he become younger. Then he like me, you know, when I speak Dhamma, I got more energy. You know. When he talk politics, he got more energy. You know. You realize or not? He younger. You know. So all these, the money receiver, bring about the condition for change, you know. You know, you have the consciousness of the whole country of Malaysians. You know. They have this joy, they have this happiness, understand? You know. Like now, a lot of Malaysians has this joy, you know. And it's so different, you know. And it has turned around things, and it can bring about so much transformation that in the long run, this type of wholesomeness and merit, you can never imagine one. Do you understand? Do you understand? You may think you're 50 ringgit, 10 ringgit, 100 ringgit. Doesn't matter. No, it matters because it brings about real change. And that is the effect. That's why for those who have the Dhamma, they will know the multiplier. You do because there is a need. The country needs the change. Understand? Or not? Otherwise, Now we've gotten in, releasing all these news. I tell you, luckily there was a change. Otherwise, if they rule for another 5 years, I cannot imagine. I cannot imagine. Instead of trillion, what is the next word? After billion, trillion, then what is the next word? Zillion. Wow, cannot count. That time you put 10 lingguan in also no use. Understand or not? The hole is too deep, too big. Better end. My wife looking at me already. almost 50 minutes out. Okay, let us share merit, transfer merits. Let us share merits, starting with the devas. Akasata cha bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumodhitva rakkantu loka sasana itta watta cha amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo imena punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. I almost forgot. Share merit with Joy. Joy just had an operation this evening, I think, a few hours back. I think already discharged. Everything went on well. Anyway, Stephanie is still not well. They told my wife, after you call, my wife called, he said, okay, ready, he go out with friend and can have dinner already. Still not well. She don't feel good, huh? Okay, we will share merits and transfer merits to both Joyce and Stephanie. Stephanie Tan, Tan Puyen, our treasurer. By the power of whatever wholesomeness that we have developed over the past 2 hours plus of our today's Tuesday class, may arise the causes and conditions for Sister Joyce and Stephanie to recover to good state of mind, to good health, and may Joyce's surgery be successful, and may she recover to good health soon as possible. May both Stephanie and Joyce be well and happy, well and happy. And may the blessing of the Triple Gem too support them strongly. And may the blessing of the Triple Gem be with them always. And may they all too be well and happy, well and happy. Okay, let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you all can send your own metta later when you reach home. We should all send metta to Stephanie. She seems to have problem recently, on and off. Fell from the bed. The waist there, no wonder. She was standing on the bed or what?
No, she wanted to get some water.
Then she fell. She slipped and she fell. I didn't know. My wife called her, she said, okay already.
She
also contacted you?
Okay.
Yeah, she told my wife she was okay. Improve, Okay. She need treatment or not? Medical? Yeah. Still painful. Miss Heaven Recover. Yeah, Heaven Recover. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. We should pay her a visit. Yeah. Okay, thanks for the info. You all can send some metta to Stephanie too. Okay, we can have our food now. Sadhu, 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 rejoice.
Yeah. Ah, good. 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 Ah, good.